I was thrilled when Philippa asked me to do the reading. But I don't have my glasses or my Bible, but I found a giant print Bible in the library. So here goes. The reading is from Matthew chapter 6 and verses 25 to 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of those. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day. Yeah, look, each day has enough trouble of its own.
Heavenly Father, we ask that you speak to us this morning through your words, through the songs, through other people, through the words of my mouth, that each of us may come away from here this morning closer to you and closer to our Lord and Saviour Jesus. Amen. Well, I have a confession to make to the people here, one for which I ask your prayers. I worry about all sorts of things. I'm one of those people that goes back to check if a door's locked. I worry about my family, the needs of family and friends, whether physical, emotional or spiritual needs. I worry, unlike all of you I'm sure, about remembering things, about keeping commitments. In my job, how best to meet the needs of my students. And I frequently wake in the night and one of those things will pop into my head. The Archbishop of York, John Sentamu, recently was quoted as saying, he loves it when he wakes in the night because he knows God wants to speak to him about something. Well, it's a great reminder and opportunity to pray, but still, I worry. If we're honest, we all worry at least sometimes, don't we? Can any of us say that our life is without any burdens, concerns, or worries? We've probably heard of that person who doesn't have a care in the world. But is that true? Probably not. We all have things we're concerned about to one degree or another. In fact, the carefree person's most likely covering up something that worries them. Even if we're not wringing our hands in worry, we all have things in our lives that we are rightfully concerned about. Someone said this, "The ignorant worry because they don't know enough. The knowledgeable worry because they know too much. The poor worry because they don't have enough. The rich worry because they're afraid of losing what they have. The old worry because they're facing death. The young worry because they are facing life." Both of the readings set for today, from Matthew and from Peter's letter, tell us we should not worry. God is in control. In Jesus' time, as in many parts of the world today, life wasn't comfortable. The average life expectancy of an individual in those times and in that place didn't exceed 40 years due to sickness and hardship. And continuous supplies of food and clothes were considered luxuries. Jesus knew poverty better than most of us. And he knew it firsthand and in the lives of those he met. People were often worried and anxious about how to meet their needs. And this is the context in which Jesus was speaking and telling them not to worry. The motto of many people perhaps is, "Don't worry, be happy." But Jesus qualifies that motto by saying, "Don't worry, seek God's will first, and you will be happy." Isn't there more to life than food and more to the body than clothes? There are other important things in life that need our priority. We hear God provides for birds and plants. Jesus' point was simple but sensible. If God takes such good care of less important things, how much more will he care for us as people? Worrying is not needed. Our Father knows what we need before we ask him. Worrying is not needed, not because we don't have needs, but because we have a good God who made the universe and who is our loving Heavenly Father who knows what we need. He loves us dearly. And he's more than capable of taking care of us. Worrying doesn't help. Which of us, by being anxious, can add a single hour to our life or a single inch to our height? Worrying doesn't make things any better. You don't live longer by worrying. And if anything, too much anxiety, the experts tell us, probably shorten our lives. It certainly makes you go grey faster, and for some of us, even makes the hair go faster. God is already aware of our needs because he's omniscient, all-knowing. And those who don't trust God for provision, as our reading said, one on the screen said, the pagans and that Carol read, the Gentiles, those who don't trust God for provision are continually concerned with acquiring enough. When we worry, we're living as though everything rests on our shoulders. Jesus isn't saying that his followers will have an easy ride, though. In asking us to trust God to provide, in comparing us to birds and flowers, he's not promising us that we'll never have hardship. In fact, he says, each day has enough trouble of its own. Today and tomorrow will both be full of trouble. But the answer is not to worry about it, he's telling us. The answer is Jesus. The answer is to trust God with it, which means sorting out today and leaving tomorrow to him. I came across some quotes from Pope Francis, which say, trusting in God doesn't magically solve problems, but it allows for facing them with the right spirit, courageously. God is our shelter, the source of our serenity and our peace. He is the rock of our salvation, he said. Whoever holds on to God never falls. He is our defense against evil that always lies in ambush. If we take to heart what Jesus says, then our lives will be like homes built on the rock. No matter what storms of life come our way, our Father will provide for us. Peter, in his first letter, tells us to cast all our anxiety on God. And I'll quote it to you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power for ever and ever. Amen. Peter wrote that letter when either, the historians tell us, Nero or Domitian were emperor. Both were rather unpleasant characters. They violently persecuted numbers of people, including the Christian church. The original audience understood suffering. They experienced it daily. This letter was written as both a challenge and an encouragement in the midst of trials. What does it mean for us today? How is this passage an encouragement during our trials? A theologian called Alan Stibbs says, we cannot throw away our troubles. We cannot run away from our problems or pretend they don't exist. But we can get rid of the anxiety that is caused by our troubles. We can refuse to be burdened down by care. We can reject the kind of worry that disturbs our peace and distracts our mind. What we do instead is turn to God. We find relief in God. We hand our worry over to him so that we don't have to worry ourselves. We can pour out our anxiety to him in prayer. We can be calm in the middle of times of trouble. We can experience the serenity that God promises and that Jesus exemplifies. What Peter is saying is that God himself is concerned for your welfare, for my welfare. God himself wants us to be whole and healthy. God himself feels our pain and our sadness. God himself paid the price for our sins and has set us free from condemnation. God himself cares for us, for you and me. And it never ceases to amaze. Many of you will know the book, The Imitation of Christ, by Thomas A. Kempis, written in the 1400s. And Thomas A. Kempis says this, oh, how great peace and quietness would they possess who should cut off all vain anxiety and place all their confidence in God. Oh, how great peace and quietness would he or she possess who should cut off all vain anxiety and place all his confidence in God. 600 years later, it's just as true. To those in the midst of struggles, though, the words of Jesus might sound a bit like that song from the 80s. Don't worry, be happy. And to those of us who are comfortable, Jesus' words may seem a little irrelevant. Can the gospel really be that much out of touch with the realities of our lives? Of course not. We all have the worries. Jesus mentions worry at least 5 times in the 10 verses from this passage. So one might gather that he wants to make a point. First, on a practical level, worry is the most unproductive activity that you can engage in. And he asks some great rhetorical questions. If you worry enough, can you make yourself taller? If you worry enough, will it make your life longer? The answer, of course, to both is no. Worry accomplishes nothing, and it's negative self-thinking often. It brings about anxiety that we don't have any control about things that we don't have any control over. And often when we worry, we envisage the worst case scenario. However, Jesus isn't an agony aunt in a magazine, wanting to give us practical advice on getting through life more smoothly. He's not a sage, a great wise teacher dispensing mere words of wisdom and practicality, as many people think. Jesus encourages us to place our faith in God our Father. Let the unbelievers worry about such things. Your Father knows what you need. Have faith enough to allow God to be God. Instead of worrying, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We're called to live in the present day, working in and for the kingdom of God. We need not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow, when the sun comes up, we will follow the same courses of action. The American pastor Rick Warren has said this: the more you pray, the less you'll panic. The more you worship, the less you worry. You'll feel more patient and less pressured. God is loving. God is gracious and caring. In times of discouragement, God will encourage us. In times of weakness, He will give us strength. When we fall down, He will support us and pick us back up. When we suffer, He will restore us. When we are tempted, He will strengthen us. When we fail, God will forgive us because He cares for us. We're called to take one thing at a time, one day at a time, to do what we can, where we can, when we can, and let the rest go. We to strive first for the kingdom of God, trusting that God will take care of what we need as we need it. We can cast our cares on God. We can stand strong in the faith. We can be disciplined and avoid temptation. And we can do all of these things because we know that God is on our side, that the Holy Spirit is with us, and that we have Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Dear Lord, there's always so much more going on in the world than we can alter or affect or change. And there's so much we can do each day to live our lives to the fullest, to make the most of each moment. There are so many worries. Teach us balance. Teach us discernment. Take our worries and free us to trust. In Jesus' name we pray, and we too can say, to God be the power forever and ever. Amen.